This is VSiN's Bet the W. Here is your host, Danielle Albari.
Welcome in to Bet the W. I'm your host, Danielle Albari. Happy to be back in the seat, back into the action of the WNBA. We have two games going on Tuesday that we'll break down in today's show, and also take a peek ahead to the Wednesday games, even though we don't have the lines for those games just yet. But before we dive into all of the action that's coming up, let's recap All-Star Weekend that was in Las Vegas. I was in Las Vegas. It was a great time. Hopefully you caught the last show that we taped, was released on Friday. Dana Matteo, great friend of the show, just great friend in general. Find you a friend. I already tweeted this out, but how many people have friends that during their vacation in Las Vegas will just drop what they're doing and come record a podcast with you? But that's what Dano did. We talked about the All-Star game ahead of time. We talked about playing Jewel Loyd to win MVP. Hopefully you cashed in on that with us, because she was sitting around plus 650 around the time we were talking about it, 6-1 before the game. And then, yes, lo and behold, sets a point scoring record and wins the MVP trophy that really, like, thankfully was much larger than last year's trophy that Kelsey Plum walked away with, that was comically small. But I did want to note, little note, nitpicky thing here. Apparently, Kelsey Plum's trophy last year was made by Tiffany's, like, it's, which makes it more valuable, right? Like the silver. And the trophy they made this year, much larger, but did not look like it was made by Tiffany's. Again, I haven't confirmed that. Did not have the elegance, maybe you would say, of the one that Kelsey Plum got, albeit very tiny, hilariously tiny. So I think there's a little trade-off there where maybe Kelsey Plum's trophy is worth more than the one that Jewel got, but Jewel's is larger, right? So, you know, anyways, Jewel Loyd, MVP, plus 650. We love to see it. So glad that that panned out. And honestly, a bright spot for Jewel Loyd, which was part of the handicap here. This person who's been leading the league in scoring and really battling on a team that has been completely depleted, had to bring in, what, 7 to 9 new players just this last year. Obviously, Breanna Stewart's departure, Sue Bird's retirement, and Jewel Loyd making the most out of what she's had there. And I'm happy to see her getting a little bit of shine in that All-Star game. Also, just of note, had to bring this up. Why were the skills and the three-point contest on Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern? Whose idea was that? Why is the All-Star game on a Saturday? Can we do the skills contest on Saturday? Get the game on Sunday? Something like that? I don't know. But fortunately, the three-point contest transcended its time, courtesy of Sabrina Ionescu, who was the short shot to win this. That cashed at plus 280. I know Dano had some money on this one. I thought maybe Jackie Young, even though I completely forgot, just blindly forgot, that your three-point shooting percentage, even if you're the best in the league, does not necessarily factor into these three-point shooting contests. It seems like it should, right? But it doesn't necessarily pan out that way. And in fact, before the contest, we were talking about how we thought that maybe Jackie wouldn't be able to take the shots as quickly as she would need to get around the court. And we saw that Dejanay Carrington a little bit struggled with that as well. Sammy Whitcomb, however, did a great job in the first round. I believe scored the most points in the first round, where we kind of thought, oh no, what's going to happen here? And then Sabrina came out and sealed the deal. But Sammy Whitcomb had this incredible release where she was already shooting the next shot before the first one was even touching the net. So that's why she was able to be successful and make it to that final round. Arike Ogunbowale also made it, who again has not had an incredibly efficient three-point shooting year, but again, doesn't necessarily matter in these contests. And we know that Arike is clutch. She's been clutch back dating to her college years and probably before. But Sabrina, hands down, just the best at this contest, right? She proved that to us. 37 points, shot 92%. It was insanity to see. It was truly insane. Only two missed shots here. One ball was worth 1 point. One was versus two. Record for the three-point contest, not only on the women's side, but the men's side as well. Because it was, I mean, it was out of 40. She scored 37 points. I just had to bring it up again. Incredible performance. And it does good things to get eyes on the game. And that's what we should all care about, right? As usual, though, All-Star Weekend, just not about the All-Star game at all. I was not right on the side here. I was not right on the total. I leaned under on this one, 249.5. It went over. I also thought that Asia Wilson's team would win because she had four of the Aces starters on her team at home in Michelob Ultra Arena with their head coach, and then add in a few other all-stars, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to win it, except for nobody putting even hands up to a semblance of defense, something. I mean, it's an all-star game. We don't come to expect that at all. But it just goes back to the greater picture of whether it's a men's or a women's all-star game, we've just not come to expect good basketball. It's more about the weekend itself and getting the players together, which is also baffling when you think about it. Like, you want to be named an all-star, but the actual all-star game, you don't see anything competitive. And I get it. You don't want to get hurt as a player. You want to probably enjoy your break also, your all-star break. But it was really rough. Really rough to watch, but not the point, like I said, of All-Star Weekend. It was just great to be surrounded by other people who love the WNBA, whether it was media or fans or the players. I mean, I walked by Aaliyah Boston. What kind of weekend is that? It was insane. And I love that Aaliyah Boston is the kind of person that you can spot from far away because of her hair. And it inspired me to think maybe I need to make some changes where people can just spot me from a mile away. She also got the first basket, which was surprising, and I believe a pretty long shot before the game. But exciting to see her as a rookie in her first All-Star game, and we hope to continue to see her as things go on. I will say that since Team Stewart did win, their final score, 143 to 127, they covered as 5.5-point dogs. Again, All-Star game, come on. Opposite of what I thought would happen, but we still got the plus 650 on Jewel Lloyd at MVP. And frankly, it fits the narrative of the start of this WNBA season, which has cooled off as of late, but the theme was underdogs cover, specifically home dogs, who have covered 55.8% of the time so far, going 24-19-1 against the spread in this season. We'll see if that continues into the second half of the season. Now let's get into Tuesday's games. We'll also mention I'm pretty positive I'm getting sick or got sick, and I blame the plane coming back from Las Vegas because it was packed like sardines, and there was just errant coughs all around me. So hoping that we just push through this, and also delighted that I will hopefully have Calvin Wetzel or a co-host back with me later in the week to help save my voice a little bit. That said, let's get into Tuesday's games. Two games to look at, the Minnesota Lynx at the Atlanta Dream. I'm really just out of the gate want to say torn on both of these games, and maybe it's a little bit of coming out of that All-Star break and not sure what the mentality is or what these teams are going to look like just out of the get, if it's going to be rest or rust. I mean, really, it was only a week, and a lot of these players played in the All-Star game or attended it. But that said, the Dream are laying 5.5. I've even seen this go up to 6.5, so maybe by the time you're listening to this, that's the case. But 5.5-point favorites at home. Total for this one, 171. Was 171.5. Already seeing it bet down to 170.5, so starting to dive a little bit on the total, and I expect that will continue. So the last time that Atlanta and Minnesota played was back on May 23rd, which was virtually the start of the season, and if you remember how the Lynx started their season, it was not very glorious. The Dream did win that game. They covered as 1.5-point underdogs, 83-77. In that game, the Lynx did outscore Atlanta 25-12 in points off of turnovers. Now, I will say, Atlanta's been on a little streak, right? They went into the All-Star break on a 6-game win streak. They covered 5 of those games. In that same stretch, 3rd in effective field goal percentage and 4th in turnover percentage. Okay, great. Looks like improvement, right? But most of the teams they played were not necessarily top of the pack here. They played the Storm twice, the Sky twice, I believe, the Sparks, the injury riddled. Are they even the Sparks anymore? Sparks. So I'll be more convinced. Again, the Lynx are mid to bottom tier team as well. So this is a team they should be able to cover against. That's the way this game should work out if the Dream are going to continue on this upswing that they're on. I'm just not completely sold yet. They do get them at home here, and they did win the last one by 6. I just don't know what to make of this when they haven't played anybody tough. They did have a win against the Mystics. They did have a win over the Mystics, and that was a game that had Elena Deladon, Natasha Cloud, who are out now, but we're playing in that game. But again, the Mystics have been having their share of issues as well. But that would be the one good team that they beat so far. Sorry to the Storm in the Sky. They still sit in the middle of the pack on both offensive and defensive rating, but they still hold the top spot, the number one spot, no matter what range you're looking at, all season, last 10 games, in pace. They are the fastest team. They've cashed 12 overs in their 19 games played so far, so 12-7 to the over. And there have been 6 overs, by the way, in the Lynx last 7 games. So we've been seeing a lot of improvement on the offensive end by the Lynx. Will the books catch up to that? Maybe that's what this line is. That's what's kind of gotten me off this total, is it being in the 170s. It makes me a little bit less interested here. The Lynx are in the bottom half of the league in defense, and I keep harping on the Dream for their defense and their inability to close out some of these games. So I struggle, as you can see, I struggle with betting an over here, especially in the 170s. And it looks like the market agrees, because like I said, this was around 171.5, and I've already seen it bet down to 170.5. So if you want to take a play on the under, you know I'm a big fan. But with lackluster defense, fast pace, lots of overs from both of these teams, especially as of late for the Lynx, that makes me a little shy off of it. So maybe there's a live situation there, or even a first half over you could look at. But instead, I'm going to look to live bet the Dream. I know that's not everybody's favorite thing to hear necessarily. People just want you to say, pick a side, pick a total. But just being strategic here with your bets and trying to actually bet on a side or a total when you feel like you have an advantage or you feel good about that side. This game, I don't feel super confident on either side. And it's too bad, because I should want to lay the points at the Dream, and the market has wanted to. The Dream were about 5.5 point favorites when I got to the lines, and I've already seen them move up to 6, even 7.5 in one spot. So people backing the Dream at home here. But the Dream have not necessarily performed incredible at home this year like they should. And I can't trust them to cover the 6 here, or 7.5 for that matter, if it gets up to that. They may have turned a corner before the break. They looked good. But consistency has been an issue for this team. You've really had to ride the waves of their success and dodge the dips of their dips of their general performance, I guess. They have dodged the dips. Dodge, did, duck, dive, and dodge. But that's why I can't bet on this Dream team right now. I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they can handle this Lynx team no problem. I also think they've struggled a little bit against teams that have a little bit more veteran presence, and I think that Nafisa Collier is going to make them know she's there. Let's see. Let's see how it plays out. Maybe the Dream proved me wrong. They have turned a corner, and then we can start to get back on that bandwagon. Maybe it'll be too late by then, though. The books will have caught up. We have another game on Tuesday as well. The Connecticut Sun at the Phoenix Mercury. The Sun laying 7 now at the time of this recording, but this was 6.5 as I was prepping for the show, and already moved to 7. I wouldn't be shocked if it continues to move that direction, because the Sun are the clearly better team here. I wrote a preview for VSiN. The articles that I write previewing the games come out usually Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, which I know is kind of like seems like an arbitrary schedule. If there's a really great matchup on a Wednesday that I want to write an article for, I do it if I have a strong bet to play. But outside of that, you can expect them on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on vsin.com. And in the article for this preview on Tuesday, I said these are the two orange teams, and that's pretty much the only similarities between these teams, because you have the Connecticut Sun, a top 3 in the league team, right? They have won 7 of their last 9 games, covered 6 of them. And really, their last 2 losses in that span were to the top 2 teams in the league, the Aces and the Liberty. So sitting, again, comfortably in that 3 spot. And I'm hoping, I feel bad saying this, because I know that we have a lot of New York Liberty fans, rightfully so. What a fun team to watch. But wouldn't it be cool, not for Liberty fans, if the Sun could kind of push past them, topple the Liberty in their last few matchups against them in the second half of the season, because then that very much helps anybody with an Alyssa Thomas MVP ticket, right? If all of a sudden the Sun can surpass the Liberty, the Aces are all stealing votes from each other. Breanna Stewart, the obvious favorite right now at -230, definitely the most important person on her team. And then you have Alyssa Thomas, who's just sort of this unsung hero who's almost averaging a triple-double, just broke the triple-double record, and is covering even more with Breonna Jones out with an Achilles ending injury for the season. So I just think that that would be cool to see for the Connecticut Sun, for Alyssa Thomas, but obviously not very fun for Liberty fans. So if it's not going to go that way, the Liberty better dang well make a series out of the finals if they're going to be the team facing the Aces. Meanwhile, the other orange team, the Mercury, I feel like I'm talking like about 8-year-old like soccer or something, like the blue team, but the other orange team, the Mercury, have been lackluster in just about every category, right? 4 total wins this season. I will say they have won 3 of their last 6. They fired their coach in about that span. So maybe something there, but probably more so just that for whatever reason, they have the Fever figured out. The Fever have been on a slide. The Fever also play Wednesday. We'll get a little preview of that game in a moment. But the Mercury have beat the Fever twice this year. I believe the other win was over another, you know, lower tier team. I think the Storm, if I have to guess. They did inexplicably stay within 5 points of New York when they played them. But outside of that, like, the Mercury just really struggling this season and don't seem to have their heads in this game at all. One thing, though, and I wrote about this again in the article, that Mercury fans can look forward to, Diana Taurasi almost at her 10,000th point. Incredible. She already is the WNBA's all-time leading scorer, but this would just be over the top. She's currently 86 points away. She's averaging about 14.5 points per game, which means you could see this in the next 5 to 7 games. So something to keep our eye on, and definitely just more so because, well, it would be fun to bet her points prop on that night, right? Especially if the books aren't paying close attention to that, like we are, right? Anyways, as far as the total, Connecticut has also cashed 13 overs in their 20 games played so far. Okay, Connecticut, making that offense work for you, making the pace increase. Still not the fastest in the league, probably more like a 5th or 6th rank there, but fast for Connecticut, and good for them. Good on them, because they've been making these overs happen. 5 of their last 6 games have seen overs, so it's really been a recent trend as well. They need Phoenix to help them out, though, to have this full game total get over. If you can bet a Connecticut team total, that would be interesting. Not sure what number I'd like to take that at. The full spread or the full total for this game is 163. So I'd imagine you're going to be definitely in the 80s, obviously, with Connecticut, maybe 85.5. It's a lot of points, especially because if you're just brutally beating down a team, don't you pull off the gas a little bit, especially if you don't want any more injuries to happen? I don't know. That could be interesting, a Connecticut or even a first. I don't want to go first half over necessarily with these teams either. That's where I would look. Maybe a Connecticut team total. Full game. Phoenix is last in points per 100 possessions. The Sun are just the better team here. They should win it. I hate this spot, though. I will say I'm not thrilled about laying 7 on the road, right? Like, I'm just not thrilled about that. So if you don't want to lay 7, I completely understand. But the Sun should win this game handily. It should not be close. They should be double-digit favorites here. And it just depends on what Phoenix Mercury team we get, because, again, they just decided to show up against New York one night and score 90 points. So if that happens, then, yeah, this is going to be tanked. But hopefully the Sun can get this together, even though they're on the road. Sun -7. This has moved up from 6.5 already, so market likes it. It could keep going up. I wouldn't really want to bet it much higher than this, and I don't think you're going to get a live opportunity in this game either. Let's take a look at Wednesday real quick. Wednesday quick pick here, or not a pick, but a quick peek. The Indiana Fever at the Washington Mystics. Somebody send a supply of ankles to this poor Mystics team. My goodness. Elena Deladon going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Ankle injury. Ariel Atkins missing at least 2 weeks. Ankle. Natasha Cloud tweaked her ankle recently, but supposedly is good to go for this game. Just send ankles. Send prayers. I think that we're going to see this game with the Mystics still favored, and here's why. The last time they played in Washington, the Fever lost by 8. That was just recently, and that was with no Elena Deladon in the lineup and no Natasha Cloud. So I remember, I thought that Dano maybe was on with me for this one. Maybe it was Calvin. We were talking about how, well, you have to look to the Fever here. Maybe they'll start to get things going again. They were on that losing streak. They're still on. But the Mystics had so many people missing, and still they were able to win handily. So it's not helping the Fever that Nelissa Smith is missing time. You just might have to lay off the baby Fever for a while. As much as it breaks my heart to do it, I just think we might have to lay off. And maybe that's good, because maybe the books will stop being so high on them as well as they have been lately. Indiana had that little spurt and it kind of got everybody excited, and I think that they're starting to come back down to earth. We've seen that. And again, Nelissa Smith being out, not great for them. Dallas is also going to play. This is an exciting Wednesday matchup. The Dallas Wings at the New York Liberty. I'm excited to see what this line is, because I may end up having to play this one, but I imagine the Liberty favored at home here. Dallas is the team that handed the Aces their second loss of the season, so they seem to match up well. They're second in pace, fourth in offensive rating. They have size. They have shooting. Please give us a total that we can bet an over on in this game. Yes, you heard that right. Me saying I want to bet an over here. I'm thinking the total is going to be in the 170s, of course. I'm hoping it's like 171.5. I think I could get in on like a 173.5. I don't want to go much higher than that. That would be bananas. And maybe this will be lower than that, and maybe it won't be this fast-paced of a game. New York's defense has been pretty solid at moments, but I don't know. I think I like Dallas in this spot. This is the time for Dallas to turn on the gas here in the second half of the season and really rocket up that leaderboard a little bit higher, because they're definitely still floating around that 4 or 5 spot. As far as MVP, before we go, I already said it, right? Alyssa Thomas. She doesn't put up the same offensive numbers as Breanna Stewart or Asia Wilson, but I can't even get into it again. She's averaging almost a triple-double. 15.1 points, 9.7 rebounds, second best in the league, by the way. 8.1 assists, which is second best this season as well, or second best in the league. That's incredible, right? And not a guard. The fact that she's that high in assists and not a guard, and by the way, has been especially motivated, has had a little fire under her since not being named a starter for the All-Stars. So I still like her sitting here around, what, 17-1, 19-1? It could happen. If the Sun can take down the Liberty, they play at the end of August, early September, twice. That could push her over. My win of the week, my solo win of the week, just getting to see all of the, it's getting to spend time at the WNBA All-Star Game. Obvious win of the week. Getting to meet people that I haven't got to meet before. You just have your online friends a lot in this media business. So getting to see those people again, getting to visit with friends, be in an environment where everybody loves the W, celebrates it, is excited to be there. That was just, it was a great win. It was a great win. My loss of the week is that I'm getting sick. I hope that doesn't happen. Let's pray it's allergies or something. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back in the saddle for previewing Thursday's games. So make sure you follow About the W Show on Twitter. We love you guys doing that. Shout out comments, concerns, always welcome and encouraged. If you listen to the podcast version, we would love for you guys to leave a rating. I saw that on Spotify we have 2 5-star ratings. I will take it. I will take that. And obviously, if you're watching the show as well on YouTube, we appreciate that. We'll be back to look at the Thursday slate this week. Thanks so much for listening and for watching.